Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds that we may receive your word and the treasures of your kingdom. Amen. I don't know if you realise, but last week's and this week's lectionary readings from Matthew's Gospel are very much intertwined. From last week, the wheat and weeds parables and its explanation is dissected by the first two parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, from this week's reading. And those two parables stuck in the middle of the last week's lectionary reading are grouped here with the parable of the treasure and the pearl of great price. They're all kingdom parables and give us glimpses of the nature and of God's kingdom of love. Those first two parables are ones of growth. A vast tree with a canopy to shelter birds and animals come in from the smallest of seeds. And similarly, a small amount of yeast or leaven causes a whole loaf of bread to rise. God's kingdom is one of abundance and generosity. And then there are the parables of the treasure and the pearl. They're parables of discovery and joy. The treasure is stumbled upon. But on seeing its worth, the man goes about selling all that he has in his joy to buy the field and the hidden treasure. The pearl merchant, on the other hand, knows what he's looking for. And when he finds a pearl of great value, he too liquidates his assets to purchase the pearl, which is, of course, a metaphor for God's kingdom. These two characters demonstrate to us the importance of finding God's kingdom. It releases great joy and becomes the focal point for these people's lives. And God's presence and reign are often hidden below the surface of our lives, aren't they? But I wonder, when we experience these little epiphanies, are we surprised when we receive and experience these little epiphanies at surprising and unplanned moments? What do we do in consequence? It may be we come across God's treasure by chance, or we can be intentionally looking for his kingdom pearls. But how do we react to the riches of his love shown to us directly or through others? Well, that's a challenge for us this week and every week, to notice when we encounter God's love and mercy, and in our joy, to intentionally respond in the moment. The fifth parable in our reading is a parable of the dragnet, catching not just good fish, but bad as well, that needs sorting at the beach. A bit like the weeds among the wheat being sorted at the harvest gathering from last week's reading. And this should challenge us, as even though God's kingdom is one of redemption, it is one of judgment too. In his mercy, we are all given time to turn to Jesus and follow his ways. But we should be compassionate and understanding to those gathered around us who may be of different sort of fish. And so that leaves us with the final paragraph from our gospel lectionary about the scribe of the law of the kingdom of heaven and the master of the household. Matthew includes this in his gospel account in the context of Jesus checking the disciples' understanding about his teaching. He seems to be saying, treasure is found in new and old things from the household possessions, and is displayed by the Master for all to see. Matthew's Gospel, don't forget, is very much written for a Jewish community. And Matthew goes to great lengths to show that Jesus and this new way of faithful living comes out from and is very much a fulfillment of the Old Testament law and prophets. Matthew has Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, something like, "I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets, that not one jot or iota will be struck off." For the community Matthew is writing to, and indeed for Jesus' contemporaries, they had to contemplate the stories that Jesus shared with insight and understanding from Old Testament wisdom. And then, of course, as his disciples, they had to act it out in their lives. Theologian Bishop Tom Wright says, "Understanding without acting would be sterile, whereas acting without understanding would be exhausting and pointless." But I think the Apostle Paul learnt this the hard way on the road to Damascus. He was acting without understanding before his revelation and experience and complete change round in his life. Our situation today is a little bit more complicated. We have to consider Jesus' teachings as his disciples in the 21st century, thinking what they originally meant at the time, while also being rooted in the Old Testament scriptures. And that's all before interpreting it into the culture and context of today. But Paul encourages us in this. And it begins in chapter 8 of his epistle to the Romans and follows in the later chapters, explaining how to live the Christian life. Life is hard and complicated, and we often stand at crossroads, uncertain of the way ahead. But Paul tells us, first and foremost, to pray. Creation groans. We groan with the gloom and doom around us. But the Spirit intercedes for us if we welcome him into our lives. And nothing can separate us from God's love. In him, we are more than conquerors. I'm sure it can't have escaped everyone's notice that there are going to be some changes around here in the Saffron Walden and Villages team ministry. It seems to me that the ministry here is coming to a crossroads and is perhaps uncertain how to proceed. And that's no thanks to me and Alex as we are planning to move on in our ministries. Thank you for your words of encouragement. We are very much sad to leave here. I think I can speak from Alex too. But like Jesus' teaching at the end of the gospel passage today, we need to move on, or feel called to move on, to the new with understanding from the old. Alex and I, we will have many happy memories and experiences from our time here to take with us and help shape our new future and ministry. For the Saffron Walden team, and you who live and worship here, it is perhaps a little bit more difficult to look positively into the future. But there is a new time coming for you too, as inevitably happens with the ministers moving on. But you are not abandoned. Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 32, "God did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us. Would he not with him also give us everything else? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then Bishop Rogers said to me, as part of the appointment process I went through, He said, if God has a plan for me in Harwich, he has a plan too for Debden and Wimbish, and indeed the whole team at St Mary's and Saffron Walden. No, you are not abandoned, but you're freed into a new future where the best from what has been can be built upon, with fresh enthusiasm and wisdom from other ministers, and indeed from all God's people here. But this will not come without prayer, as Paul says. Prayer that is perhaps very anguished about an uncertain future. Prayers that may even be uttered without words. Holding before God the challenges and uncertainties of reshaping the way the churches work together here in the team. And then in seeking to recruit others to join the ministry team here and to continue the work. I want to encourage you. It would only take faith the size of a mustard seed and a faithful few to spread that conviction to leaven the whole of God's people in this place. It is a treasure worth looking for, like a pearl of great price, that you will find where you are led to look by the Spirit, or perhaps just stumble across in your testing of the way forward. So my challenge to you is, as I look to move on, will you be part of growing God's kingdom here in this new era of ministry? Will you seek God earnestly in prayer during this time of change? For we are all called into God's future, following his way with the experience of the past. May we have faith to trust in his providence and find that pearl of great price, his kingdom of love and new birth. Amen.